The following is a Sunday feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 6, text number 19, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on October 12th, 2008, in Copenhagen, Denmark.
So, tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 6, Dhyana Yoga, text number 17, text number 19. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Om namo
Yata dipo nevatasto Nengate sopamasmrita Yogino yachitashya yunjato yogamatmanaha. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. As a lamp in a windless place does not waver, so the transcendentalist whose mind is controlled, remains always steady in his meditation on the transcendent self. Purport. A truly Krishna-conscious person, always absorbed in transcendence, in constant, undisturbed meditation on his worshipable Lord, is as steady as a lamp in a windless place. Shri Guru, Shri Jata, Bada Kamala, Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Dam Sajiva Sadaitam Savadutam Purijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha. So, this material world's pretty windy. There's so many ups and downs in this material world. Birth, death, old age, disease. Don't we all have to experience these things? Who wants to get old? Who wants to get sick? Who wants to die? Who wants to be packed up in a womb? Does anyone volunteer right now? These are miserable situations, but yet we are pushed by this material nature into so many difficult situations. That's a fact I have personally experienced. And you have all personally experienced. So, what is this description by Krishna given here in the Bhagavad Gita? It describes the mind of a transcendentalist, the one who is not affected by all of the miseries that are coming and going constantly in this material world. He's not affected by them. Since I fly a lot around the world presenting the science of Krishna consciousness, I have many times experienced, and you also have experienced probably if you're flying, it can be a very cold, nasty, dreary, gray day at the airport. But then when you get on that airplane and it goes down the runway, there, lo and behold, you break through the clouds, and what is there? There's a beautiful sunny day. The beautiful sunny day was there the entire time, but you were not experiencing it because you were under the influence. You were covered by the clouds. So the transcendentalist is that person who has mastered the art of penetrating through the clouds by fixing his mind on the Supreme Person, the origin of all existence. Is it? There actually is an origin to the existence. Even the atheistic scientists are looking for the origin of the universe. So there is an origin for existence. And that origin must possess within itself everything that exists within the existence. Otherwise, how can it manifest it? Right? Therefore, since we find within existence there are so many personalities, I'm a person, you're a person. There's so many persons here today, there's so many persons here in Copenhagen, there are so many persons in Denmark, there's so many persons in Europe, there's so many persons on the planet Earth. You see, within existence there are so many persons. So the origin from which all of these persons are coming out must possess personality. Therefore, that Supreme Person, you see, the origin of all existence, is the ultimate object of meditation. Because once you connect, just like here, you have so many electric lights, I'm seeing, different things, the microphone, so many things running on electric power, you see. So it is all coming from the powerhouse. If you want a good source of energy, then you somehow connect with the powerhouse. So there is a powerhouse behind the cosmos. There is so much energy. When there is energy, we can understand there must be an energetic, there must be a generating source for that energy. So the highest, some types of meditators, they say, well, I just want to make my mind blank. Forget about all the stress I'm going through at work, with my family life, with this, with the economy, etc., etc., etc. I just want to make my mind blank. That's like the ostrich sticking his head in the sand. That doesn't solve the problem, is it? It may give a temporary sense of peace of mind, but the predator is still coming to eat you. You see? So the real form of meditation that we are teaching you here in the Krishna consciousness movement, the real form of meditation is to fix your mind in that place from which everything is coming, not to just try to turn your mind off. Connect your mind with the source of all existence, you see, that Supreme Person. Because as soon as you do that, then everything that's going on here within this world is actually within his energy. And once you're connected with the source of the energy, which is more powerful than the energy, then the energy cannot disturb you anymore. You no longer become disturbed by the material energy, you see, by connecting with its source. So, when your mind finds rest in that, by being fixed in the source of all existence, that Supreme Person, then it finds true peace and true happiness. That Supreme Person possesses all opulences. Otherwise, the opulences could not exist. What are the opulences of this world? Well, we can examine. There are so many opulences. If somebody is very powerful, they are opulent, you see. Like the president or the prime minister, you see. Do you have a president here or a prime minister?
Prime minister.
If the prime minister came for this program and had a seat over here, everybody would be saying, oh, the prime minister has come today, you see. Everybody would want to see. It would be very attractive. All eyes would be attracted. Oh, the prime minister has come to the Hare Krishna Sunday program. Wow. Pretty cool. So we'd all be interested to see. So we're attracted by power, powerful persons. If someone is very beautiful also, if Miss Universe came today with her smiling face, everybody would be interested. Oh, Miss Universe has come. You see? If someone is very renowned, a great saint were to come, you see. A very renowned person like Mother Teresa, if she were able to come here today, we'd all like to see her. Mother Teresa has come, you see. Someone is very knowledgeable. If Einstein came back from the dead, you see, and walked in to check out the lecture today. Oh, Professor Einstein has come, you see. We're very interested to see. Attracted to him also because he's very knowledgeable. Someone is very wealthy. If Bill Gates came, oh, Bill Gates has come today. The wealthiest billionaire in the world. He has come today. We'd all be interested to see, you see, Bill Gates. And if they don't have anything else, they're just famous. Like if, you know, Paul McCartney came today. He's famous from the Beatles, you see. If Paul McCartney came today. Oh, Paul McCartney has come to the Sunday program at the Hare Krishna Center, you see. You're very interested. So, if somebody has these different types of opulences, if they're powerful, they're beautiful, they're renowned, they're knowledgeable, they're wealthy, or they're famous, you see, then that's very attractive to us. So just imagine if there was one person who had the most power, the most beauty, the most renunciation, the most knowledge, the most wealth, the most fame of anybody else, you see. And who would that be? That's obviously the person who's the source of all existence, because all power, all beauty, all renunciation, all knowledge, all wealth, and all, what? Fame. They come from that Supreme Person. They're all coming from him. So he must possess them. Some people say, well, why he and why not she? Well, that's all right, because that Supreme Person has also a female counterpart. So we can say, we say she, he, Radha Krishna, you see, Radha Damodar. We say she, he. We first address the feminine aspect of that Supreme, and then the masculine aspect. Why? Because the feminine aspect is more easily approachable. The feminine nature is more soft-hearted, and the masculine nature is more hard-hearted. So we approach that Supreme as she, he, Radha Krishna, Radha Damodar. So anyway, the point is that if we can reconnect ourselves with that Supreme Person who is the origin of all existence, then nothing can disturb us anymore. You see? And none of the activities of this material energy can disturb us. Because we're existing on a higher plane of consciousness. Once you take off from the airplane and you're up there flying in the beautiful skies over Europe, you see, it doesn't matter how nasty the weather is in Denmark. Really, it doesn't matter, because you're above it. You're transcendental to it. So, we're giving you today an airplane that you can use whenever you want to get beyond the material nature. You see? We're giving you a wonderful airline, Hare Krishna Airlines, you see. The pilot is His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And whenever you want to get on the airplane, we have a ticket. We're giving you a free ticket today. Whenever you want to get beyond the material nature, you just chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And if you do it with faith, You know what's going to happen? You're going to feel how you're taking off and you're transcending the material nature. You will feel it. This is not blind faith. It's like when you get on an airplane, you can feel how you're taking off. You can feel how you're taking off. You see? So if you will chant this Hare Krishna mantra with faith, you will feel how you're taking off and you're actually experiencing how you're entering into a transcendental dimension beyond time and beyond space. And it's a pretty wonderful place to be, I can tell you right now. I've been chanting Hare Krishna since... See, I first dabbled it in 1968, and ever since 1971, I've been chanting it very, very seriously. And I can tell you from my own personal experience that it is simply wonderful, this Hare Krishna chanting. It will take you beyond all the miseries of material existence into a sweet, sublime atmosphere where life is eternal, where life is full of knowledge, where life is full of bliss, where you don't have to get sick, you don't have to get old, you don't have to die. All of this stuff going on in the day-to-day grind of material existence is more or less just a movie. It's more or less like a science fiction movie, surrealistic science fiction movie, just kind of going on out there. What you're experiencing here on the material level is like a screen, a curtain. It has a reality, but it's not the ultimate reality, you see. It's the inferior reality. Through this art of fixing one's mind on the Supreme Absolute Truth, that curtain, that screen will be withdrawn, will draw back, and you'll see the actual reality beyond it. You see, right now we're on the level of thinking I'm the body. I'm thinking I'm American male. You're thinking you're a Danish woman, a Danish man, etc. An Indian man, an Indian woman. You see, we're identifying. Oh, I'm young, I'm old, I'm middle-aged. You see, we're identifying as the body right now. But you know something? The body you have now is not the same body you have when you walked in the door a few minutes ago. So how could it be you? In other words, at every minute, every time you inhale and exhale, the chemicals are in a constant state of flux. You see? Chemicals are constantly in a state of flux. Just like in the U.S., we have famous river, the Mississippi River. It dumps into the Gulf of Mexico, and there's two other famous rivers that dump into the Mississippi, the Missouri River and the Ohio River. So, you can stand at one point on the Mississippi and say, well, that's Mississippi River water. But is it really? Because yesterday that water was called Missouri River water, Ohio River water. But now it's dumped into the Mississippi and now we call it Mississippi River water. And 2 days from now it'll be called Gulf of Mexico water. It's the same water molecule, but it's differently designated according to where it's located. So my point is this, those molecules that you call yourself, you're just calling them that yourself right now because they're clustered around your soul. Otherwise, you know, a molecule that I think is me was part of you 20 minutes ago. You know what I mean? Because here we are exchanging molecules with each other by breathing in and out. What I thought was me, now it's part of you. And you see what I'm saying? This body is like a flowing river of water molecules. It's constantly changing. So it's not really you. It's just clustered around what's called the Atma, or the self, the conscious living entity who is sitting inside it like a driver inside of a car. So you're not really your body. You're the driver who is driving this car of the body, which is constantly changing at every minute. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna says, Dehi nosmin yata dehe kumaram jovanam jara tatadehantara praptir diristatra namuhiyati. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, The soul similarly passes into another body at the time of death. The self-realized souls are not bewildered by such a change. So, that's something if you want to take off on this Hare Krishna airplane, this Hare Krishna mantra airplane, if you want to take off, you have to leave behind the conception that you are your body. Otherwise, you'll be grounded. You won't be able to get off the ground. If you continue to think, I am the body, when you chant Hare Krishna, you won't feel how you're transcending the material plane. You don't have to worry that your body is going to go away and you're going to lose it. No, you'll still have it. I've been chanting Hare Krishna and I still have my body here. I walk down, you know, I can walk here, I can go there. Don't worry you're going to lose your body all of a sudden. Some weird, freaky thing will happen. You lose your body and you won't have it anymore. You become disembodied. No. According to your karma, you have a certain allotted time to spend in this body and you use that to elevate your consciousness. But you have to remember you're not the body. It's just a garment you're wearing right now. That's all. It's like now I'm wearing this chadar. I can take it off. I'm still the same person. You see, did I change? I'm still the same. I can put it back on again, and I'm still the same person. So whether you have that body on you right now or you don't have it on you right now, you're still the same person. So, but you have to realize it's not you, that's all. Doesn't mean you have to reject it. I mean, I'm not going to reject my charters because it's not me. You see, I'm going to keep my charter and use it for Krishna. So you can keep your body, that's all right, but just remember it's not you. And engage yourself in meditating with the Hare Krishna mantra, any bona fide mantra, any bona fide name of God. Chant any bona fide mantra, name of God. And realize that you're not your body and you will enter into that sublime, transcendental state of consciousness known as Krishna consciousness, or they sometimes say Christ consciousness, cosmic consciousness, different names are there. But Krishna consciousness is the most accurate description of that state of consciousness. So I've been told to end the lecture in 10 minutes. So we have 10 minutes for questions. Anyone has a question, please ask it.
Sir, my name is Shiv Kumar.
Who's asking? Okay, I'm hearing impaired, so speak loudly and clearly. You may have to help me. You can tell me what it is, and you may have to say it in my ear. Yeah, okay. Be ready.
Yeah, every day we are looking into the mirror. We see our body only every day. So how can we forget that body consciousness?
Come here and tell me what he said.
Every day we are looking into the mirror. Mm. So how can we tell that we're not the body? How can we get rid of this body consciousness?
You could also sit in your car in front of a mirror and look at the car, couldn't you? You could sit in your car and somebody could hold a mirror in front of your car and you could see your car in the mirror, couldn't you? So that's what you're doing. Let me ask you this. Are your eyes seeing or are you seeing through your eyes? Are your ears hearing or are you hearing through your ears? Which is it?
Yes, I'm seeing through the eyes.
That's right. So right now, this is a parking lot. See, you've driven your car in here to this parking lot and you parked it in that position over there. Now you're sitting in your car hearing the lecture. You see? You're sitting in your car right now. That's so. It's like in the U.S., they used to have drive-in movies. You know, you drive your car in, you park and sit there in your car and you watch the movie. So this is like a drive-in movie. You've driven your car in here, you parked it in the parking lot, and now you're hearing the lecture, sitting comfortably in your car. You see? Any other questions? Yeah.
If the Krishna consciousness are
Well, this process is actually the most wonderful thing. I mean, for example, if I were to give you 10 trillion euros now, right now, you might feel that that somehow made your day, you see. Would anybody here like 10 trillion euros if I gave it to you right now, a cashier's check? Anybody like that or no? No? Wouldn't want it? No, everybody would like 10. Let's be honest. Everybody would be delighted to have 10 trillion euros right now. That's a fact. So what I am giving you is millions and billions and trillions of times more valuable than 10 trillion euros, you see. This Krishna consciousness process is more valuable than all the wealth of this entire planet multiplied by 100 trillion times. That's a fact. So this question is, why, if it's so valuable, it's so wonderful, why people aren't grabbing it and taking it, you see? Why people aren't taking it? And I can tell you exactly why. It's due to ignorance. It's simply due to one thing, it's ignorance. People do not understand what it is. That's why I'm traveling all over the world to make it available. That's why I have my e-course on the internet. You go to www.backtohome, backtohome.com, www.backtohome.com. I'm making it available so that the whole world can wake up and realize they don't have to suffer anymore. We don't have to worry about an energy crisis. We don't have to worry about a financial crisis. We don't have to worry about any kind of crisis, because as soon as we reconnect with the source of all existence, this whole world will become a paradise. I'm telling you right now, all the economic problems, all the energy problems, all the political problems, all the terrorist problems, all the sickness, every single problem we have right now is simply due to the fact that we're not connected with our source. That's all. We're simply not connected with our source. All we have to do to connect with your source is chant any bona fide name of God. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So, reconnect. Solve all your problems. Solve all the problems of the world. Why be frustrated not being able to do anything about the problems of the world? If you will chant this mantra with faith, you can not only solve your own personal problems, you can personally solve all the problems of the entire planet. You personally can do them. You'll become empowered to do that if you will chant these names with faith. So the only reason people aren't doing it, the only reason that they aren't chanting it in the Danish parliament, in the German parliament, in the House, in the U.S. Senate, the only reason they aren't chanting Hare Krishna in every government house on the entire planet right now is they just don't understand what it is. Therefore, we need people who are willing to become educators, you see. We are training people to how to practice Krishna consciousness and how to become an educator so you can educate the general population. We're very much in need of educators. If you would like to learn this science and become an educator, we're ready to train you, because this planet is in dire need of educators, of persons who have realized the absolute truth and know the art of how to train others in this. You see, we need trainers. If you would like to volunteer to be a trainer, we won't pay you any salary. But I guarantee you, you'll get the best salary you could ever get directly from God Himself. I guarantee that. So if you'd like to be a trainer, just let myself know, or our temple president, Chaitanya Chandra Prabhu, sitting there at the back, who just asked the question. He's our local leader. If you want to become a trainer of this science, then go to him and he'll teach you how to... He'll get you set up where you can become educated and become a master of this, and so that you can also become a trainer. We need hundreds and thousands and millions of trainers. So we got about 2.5 minutes left. Yeah.
Thank you very much for a very nice lecture, Maharaji. Mm. I just want to know, that means our body is connected to materialism and soul is connected to God. That's what you're saying. Is that all about?
Actually, both of them are connected with God.
The body is also connected to God.
The material nature, this material energy and the spiritual energy, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Aham sravasya prabhavo mataksaram pravartate. I am the source of both the material and the spiritual energy. So your soul, your spiritual identity is coming from God. And your body is also coming from God. But if you forget that and you use your body in a selfish way, then it becomes your downfall. But if you use that body in the service of God, then that body becomes spiritualized. It becomes surcharged with devotional energy. You see? So the body is not bad. Is your car bad? If you use it to rob banks and murder people, it's bad. You see? If you use your car for a good purpose, then it's a very good thing. So you're not the body, but it doesn't mean you reject it. Use it for something wonderful, you see, to chant Hare Krishna. Use your tongue to vibrate. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So if you use your body in the proper way, according to the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, then you will become a perfectly enlightened spiritual being who can illuminate not only your own life, but it can illuminate the entire planet. You see? So we're requesting you to be come forward and become very serious, to become a trainer, a practitioner, an advanced practitioner and trainer of this science. That is our request to you. We need such trainers all over the world. We have openings for those who want to be monks, single monks, or you want to remain a householder, earning money, and whatever your position, you remain in that position. But become a master of this science and become a trainer to guide other people. That is our request. So now we got about no time. But I'm going to squeeze one more in.
Okay. I'll just ask you that you were talking about chanting, that you are chanting in many years. Can you please tell the difference from when you start chanting and how it feels now compared to the beginning?
Well, I always had faith in the name because I could feel the difference in my consciousness from the very beginning. But now it's much more of not. It's in other words, the beginning, it's more theoretical, and as you advance, it becomes more practical. In other words, the beginning, it's something you read about in a book, and it's interesting, but you're not so much feeling it. But the more you chant, the more you will feel, you'll be living what you're reading in the books. It becomes something you live and breathe and feel at every second. You enter into the, like you can read the Bhagavad Gita, but how about, what it would be like to feel like you're living in the pages of the Bhagavad Gita? You see, that's the difference. As you advance, you'll feel how you're living within the pages of the Bhagavad Gita. That's the difference. But the more you chant, the more you feel how the whole, you're living inside the Bhagavad Gita. So, anyone else would like to speak with me? Our time is up, but you can arrange with Techana Chandra Prabhu, our temple president, to meet with me. I'm open for meetings. Anybody who'd like to meet with me, have further questions, want some one-on-one counseling or whatever, I'm available the entire evening. So you just ask him and he can arrange. So I thank you all very much for your kindly hearing this sublime message. Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ISKCON Founder Acharya Ki Jai.